Identity crisis. Every person alive has that problem. Last week, as we started this look on Sunday nights to give the negative side of what we're covering on Sunday morning about our identity with the Lord, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we looked at the fact that theologically, every person alive has an innate sense that they are in trouble. And we have a conscience, and we also have the reality of the fact that we are not pleasing God. The fall, of course, is why that occurred, has been part of our human existence. We were in a perfect, innocent state with the Lord in the Garden of Eden, perfect fellowship with God, and then sin came into the world. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. In fact, it was pretty dramatic. And there you have the mighty angels with the flaming swords, not allowing anybody to go into the garden. And so the reality of their sin, the fact that the earth was cursed and they were cursed and dying they would die, all of that was very traumatic. And they had to come back to God through the sacrifice. And so as every person throughout history. And so we need to understand that God's conscience, which is our friend, also makes it very clear to all of us that we do not measure up. Now, some people have a greater reality of this than others for a number of different reasons, but practically the major reason comes from their home setting and then from the subsequent teaching that they receive in their home. God gave parents to bring people, to bring children to a knowledge of God, to direct them and guide them until they had their own relationship with the Lord. You see, man was created without the ability to be independent like most of the animal kingdom is. They have instincts and they just simply can function. But God made mankind helpless to need him, and God has given parents as that way that God works. He delegated his authority, honor thy father and thy mother, same word used for honoring God. And so there is this great impact that parents have upon children, and it gives them a view of God and a view of themselves. Now, unfortunately, a lot of parents don't give the right view. If a parent's not saved, they clearly cannot give the right view of who God is and how you can have a relationship with God. And many times, parents do not give a proper perspective of God because of their own personal hurts and problems and reactions and insecurities, and so therefore, they do not meet the needs of their children. Children are constantly trying to get the parents' approval. They have harshness, there is maybe passivity, maybe there's not accepting the responsibility. There's a myriad of things that can happen in the home. So here you have a child who is born with the reality that they have guilt, that they are in need of solving their life problems, and they are to be led by their parents to the fact that God loves them, came to this earth to die for them, that they can have a glorious relationship, that God will solve these problems, and then exhibit the love and the security that they can have in the Lord by having the right kind of parental child relationship. So I want you to realize that this whole matter of theology about the fall and then the strategic place that parents have is very critical in understanding of our own needs. And so many, many people have, as we mentioned last week, have wrong perspectives. Many people come up with the conclusion, since my parents don't seem to love me, God must not love me. Since my parents seem to react to me, God reacts to me. God's not fair. God's not equal. And so people come up with, there's no God, or I don't want anything to do with God. And all types of reactions. Listen, all of these sophisticated philosophies that are out there, you can just about trace them back to the early years of that person's life. They are responses to the development that a child received in their home and in whatever delegated school or upbringing situation they were in. If a child is abused, verbally, physically, or sexually, they are going to have a clear, warped view of what life is all about, who they are, and there's just so many intricate aspects to this. And so many that are believers struggle with, God doesn't like me. God doesn't love me like he loves somebody else. Now, they know theologically better than that. Or God will do it for someone else, but not for me. That's a big problem. And so the conclusion comes that others can have victory, but not me. My sin is too great. God's reacting to me. God thinks that I'm a problem. And those who claim victory must be a hypocrite, because that's all I saw. And so this matter of identity and insecurity gets down right to where we live. Now let me stop here. First of all, do not think there is a person in this room that has just perfect victory over insecurity, naturally. There is no such thing as the perfectly secure person. However, a person who's walking with the Lord, filled with the Spirit, and has the right perspective on being accepted in the Beloved, as we talked about this morning, and understands that it's all through the grace of God, and they can be all that God wants them to be, they can live with ongoing victory, because they don't have guilt, because they're walking with God, and they have a wonderful relationship with their Heavenly Father, and no matter how broken their past is, they truly can have just a day-by-day, moment-by-moment victory. But the sad fact is most Christians don't. And my friend, if you go to the normal default position of being in the flesh, you're going to have problems with insecurity. I don't care what your background was. And in some senses, you ought to. We need God to think we can independently operate without a relationship with God is very foolish. And so that's why God has to deal with us. And so, well, you can't just say insecurity. There is so much involved. And it really gets down to who we are. Who do we know we are? What does it mean to be a Christian? What is it about my past that is affecting my thinking? And so it's vital that we overcome wrong thinking and develop a right perspective. For instance, with children, children who do not get a right view of solving their guilt problems have reactions from their parents. Their parents were not trustworthy. They did not keep their promises, or they were angry with them. There's emotional instability. And you can see very, very quickly in the life of children the attempting to gain attention through illegitimate means. And I tell you, we have a lot of ability now with technology to do that. It's amazing what people will do to get a YouTube video looked at, or what to do to get some kind of notice on some kind of a blog or Facebook page or whatever. They can get notoriety, and it just feeds this deep need to have some kind of sense that they are important, and it's very false, it's very artificial, and they're very clearly a slave to peer approval. If somebody doesn't get enough likes on their Facebook page, if they have somebody bully them, that there's so much talk about that today, either in personally or via technology, they want to kill themselves because the insecurity runs so deep. And so oftentimes they'll reject the very family unit that they're in, because that's the source of their pain, and they many times will find they try to get their needs met by getting into relationships that are way before they should be in there in relationships, and it's all the wrong way. And so when that happens for a teenager and those issues are not solved for adults, an adult may learn to have self-control and to have some aspects of maturity in their life, but these unsolved issues are still big, And so all kinds of behaviors can come out of that. And you know what will happen? They'll just repeat the same thing that happened to them in their own home. Their insecurity will cause them to be insecure with their children, insecure with other people. They're going to be a slave to peer pressure. They're going to do whatever it takes to get approval through their job. Or they're going to be medicating their need through addictions. And on it goes. And so these deep insecurities will definitely affect our behavior. Now, the world has tried to deal with this by telling us we just need to have good self-esteem. You need to believe in yourself. And they'll do everything they can to help children believe in themselves. Now, some of that can be good in the right perspective, but it needs to be from a biblical perspective. But for a believer, folks, if we believe in ourselves, we're in trouble. We've got to believe in Him who can enable us, and we understand who we are in Christ. So the answer is not found in the world. It is found in our relationship to Christ. All right, I did a quick review there to try to get us all on the same page. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I want to lay some basic groundwork here tonight. Now, this is very simple. How do you deal with insecurity? By believing the Bible. Now, you got to know what the Bible says and you got to apply it properly. But you know, people can give a great theological explanation of inspiration, verbal, plenary inspiration, inerrant, authoritative, on and on they can go, and yet have a terrible, terrible struggle with identity, with insecurity. It's because the tremendous truths, as we've been talking about Sunday morning, may be intellectually understood, but not believed that it really does apply to them. And it's radically transforming when you understand who you are in Christ. And so we have to understand that. I love what C.H. Spurgeon said. Jesus promised that if I would believe in Him, He would save me. I have trusted in Him. A gentleman keeps his word. My Savior is a gentleman. He was asked about, how can you have such a confidence in your relationship with the Lord? He simply said, because God said so. Had somebody just this week struggling some with assurance of salvation, and so my perspective to them was, you're looking at yourself, look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Be Christocentric. But Christocentric means that you are first word-centered, and that you believe the authority of God's word. I'm telling you, this book is rich with the whole truths that God wanted your parents to teach you so you could have an understanding of what God has done. What a love letter of how from the before creation He was going to solve the fall, and that barrier is gone, and that He has a full relationship He wants you to have, and you are very important to Him, and He's provided you with all the resources you need, and you're going to live with Him forever. Everything's here. And so if we really believe the Bible, it's amazing the problems that could go away. Look with me at verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, I love this, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, folks, how many times have you heard preaching and for a moment you rose up and said, that's glorious. But then your emotions took over and said, but me. But my past. And that same deeply ingrained subjective thinking comes in, and that insecurity kicks in, and you maybe are even unsure you're saved, or God hasn't really forgiven you of that sin, and you just really wonder. And I want to tell you, folks, who's in you? God. all-powerful God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan's a liar. He's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to push the buttons in your life of all of your wrong thinking. But God's greater than your heart. I can tell you right now, if you choose to believe God, you say, you know, I just got this mind that keeps going over. I just feel like, well, what if I didn't say it right? Or, well, what if God didn't really forgive me? Or, you know, I've not done it wrong. I mean, I don't think there's any hope. Listen, that is a deeply ingrained pathway in your brain. Satan loves it. But God is greater than that. Did you hear me? God's greater than that. Because that's not who you are. That is not true. You're a child of God. If you ask for forgiveness, he forgave you. If you asked him to save you, he saved you. No one can take that away from you. The word of God is true. And that's what you've got to get a hold of. It doesn't matter what my past was or how broken my family situation is. This book is true and I can trust it. What it says about me is accurate. Hallelujah. I don't know how many times that little circuit might start in my own brain. I realize that's not true. And God is greater than my heart. And I've seen God just give the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, one of the best things you can do, and sometimes it's okay, people might think you're a little crazy, but talk to yourself. That's not true, Wayne. You know, that's Satan, that's not true. This is what the Bible says. Lord, deliver me. And I'm telling you, he's very interested in doing that. And so God will quiet our false conscience. He will give us a right kind of conscience from which you know there is deliverance if you truly look to him. And so if our heart condemns us, if we need forgiveness, we can get forgiveness. If it's false, then we can have confidence toward God, and God is greater than our heart. And look at verses 21 and 22. Behold, if our heart condemn us not, then we have conscience toward God. Confidence, excuse me. That's what we're looking for. Opposite of insecurity is confidence. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. A couple of things here. Don't think you're going to really get a hold of this if you on purpose keep a bad conscience. Do you realize that when you have a bad conscience, you're playing right into the whole issue of your insecurity? Because remember, the fall. We are guilty. We're sinners. We can't do anything ourselves. It's all of God. Our worth is not from ourselves. Our worth is because of God valuing us. Our worth comes because of our relationship with him and appropriating what Christ has done for us. And so if I keep in a relationship in which there's a barrier because I am holding on to unconfessed sin, guaranteed you're going to have insecurity. And let me just say this. A Christian who has come to some measure of understanding and some great confidence in their life and then let sin come into their life, and because of pride they won't deal with it, they're going to go right back to their insecurity within weeks, if not days, if not hours. You know, you ought to tell the Lord, Lord, if I'm not willing to get right on something, you've got my permission, make me so miserable I can't stand it. Now, oftentimes he does it different ways. But I'm telling you, learn to have a short account with God. And I'm telling you, some of you here really don't have a good view of God, and you don't really feel good about how God looks at you because you've been holding on to sin for a while. Now, a lot of people that come to church often don't have that, but some do. And I can tell you right now, you are struggling with insecurity. That's why you got to have friends. That's why you might be hooked on technology. That may be why you have some addictions that you're escaping, because you're not dealing. And the hurts that are in the past that maybe God helped you with, those have come screaming back. And so we find here that our heart needs to not condemn us because that obviously is going to throw us right back to the insecurity problem that goes back to the fall. But if we have a heart that doesn't condemn us, we have confidence. Folks, it's like the most beautiful scenery in the world. It's like the most refreshing day with a gentle breeze. We've had some of those, you know, we have three or four of those every year, and boy, we just had some, and it was wonderful. It's like you want to bottle it up. Hold on, I don't want this day to go by, you know, it's just beautiful times. You know, it's like the sweetest song that you can hear. It's like the most beautiful situation you've ever been in is when you get right with God. Man, I'm telling you, when you get right, it's so much fun to be with somebody when they get right with God. It's Scrooge can't, I mean, he gets all excited and he jumps. I'm really worried about, you got to stay in shape, Brother Zimple. I can see you falling off that stage. You do a good job clicking those heels and we all get excited. Why? Because Scrooge feels good. Well, I'm telling you, we need to live feeling good. We ought to be clicking our heels every day. I am forgiven. You wake up forgiven. You go to bed forgiven. You stay forgiven. And you realize that God's cleansed us from all my sin. I have nothing between my soul and my Savior. I'm telling you, it's just good. I mean, it could be a miserable day, but a great day. And so it's important that we understand that. And then it's very interesting that this is in this passage here. And that is that our security comes through relationship. Now, it should have first come through a solid relationship with parents that allow you to understand the solid relationship you can have with God. But notice here, it says in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep, or that means more than just obeying, as we've often said, cherish, hold on to, value what he said to us. You notice John says it here, he says it back in the Gospels, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So what you have here is a relationship of prayer. And so you're right with God, you're believing the Bible, you're overcoming wrong thinking, and then you start really believing God in prayer. You take time for prayer. The Spirit of God leads you to pray. And what does it say? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. You begin to start having a genuine relationship of God doing things. You know, it's great confidence when the Bible says so, and that's your primary foundation, and the Holy Spirit says yes. Then it's wonderful to have a heart that's right with God. But I'm telling you, when you start seeing God do things, it's really encouraging. God heard my prayer. God met my need. God worked in my life. God was very real to me. And so that's what we're seeing here in this whole matter of confidence, that if we ask, we will receive, and it's because we cherish what he says, and we're wanting to please him, so we now have a reciprocal relationship that is free. And so we're talking to him, he's working with us, his word becomes real, and you're secure with him. You know, I didn't have much insecurity when I was really close to my parents. When my parents shared their heart, I shared my heart, we were on the same page, we loved being together. I was a pretty confident kid. And I'd like to say I was always like that. I've shared with you, and I almost hate to bring it up, but I was the oldest one, so my dad learned on me. And my dad, when I was upper elementary, he and I were as different as night and day. And I know I irritated him. He never would say irritate, but I did. There's no doubt about it. Dad was a very, very, I don't know what the word is for it. I mean, he liked things clean, in order. He was just a very sensitive man that way. I like to play in dirt. Let's go out, ride a horse, be a mess. You know, I mean, let's have action in life, you know. And Dad was very dignified. And I've told the story how I came in one time and he just blew up at me because of, I'd washed my face, but it was just this one circle and everything. My mom, she understood me. I was just like her. I mean, she got her hands dirty and got in and did work, you know, but that was hard working, but it's just different. Anyway, long story short, I've told the story how he blew up at me. We're all sitting there. And of course, you know, that wasn't helping my insecurities any. I just have to be honest with you at that point. Well, Dad brought me to the back room, and I thought, I am going to get it. This is going to be sad. And I was thinking of, I'm going to blank out here pretty soon. And because when Dad dealt with me, you remembered it for a while. And so, and I know I disobeyed him by being dirty. I understood that. But Dad didn't deal with me. Instead, with tears, he said, I've sinned against you, son. God's been dealing with me about it. This is terrible. I am going to hurt you. I am hurting you. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me? Oh, of course. I thought, the world of my dad, and I said, certainly. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, I'll never do this again. By God's grace, I will not treat you like that. That is wicked. I want you to know that. I'll have no blessing. You'll have no blessing. Would you pray for me? I think we prayed together. I don't remember the whole situation. My dad never did. From that point on, Dad took me everywhere. Dad began to communicate with me. I received from him. I talked to him. It began to become very real. Our relationship, I loved to keep his word. I loved to hear him talk. Many times as I talk about history, I'm telling you what I heard from him. We had precious times together. In fact, God gave me the great privilege of coming back and serving in the ministry as his main associate for 9+ years. You know what happened to my insecurities? Just on the human realm, much of it went away. Because I was not insecure with my dad. And we were very different. Now, I give that as an illustration because it is an illustration of where we need to be with God. And, you know, the Lord just wants us to talk to him. He wants us to listen to him. See, John said, we keep his commandments. We cherish what he said. I remember every word he said. In fact, he wrote it by inspiration. He said, what he said was close to my heart. And God, whatever we ask of him, he gives to us. And this confidence is all about a genuine working relationship. And so no matter how broken the parental and authority structures were in your earlier days, and maybe you didn't have, of course, the privilege of what I had, and my dad having personal revival and changing the way he treated me, it still doesn't matter. You're accepted in the beloved. The Father's ready to embrace you. He wants you to believe his word and love his word. He wants you to talk to him. He's going to prove himself and how much he loves you. He'll forgive your sin and he'll answer your prayers. He'll do it. And so you're going to then want to please him, and he's going to please you appropriately. I'm telling you, when you talk to God one day and he works and he's taught you and he maybe deals with you, and then the next day it builds on that, so much of identity gets straightened out. It's a very practical matter. And so this is very important. And then just one more thought. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son Jesus Christ. There it is, back to faith again. And love one another as he gave us commandment. Okay, this is all about confidence with God. But here's one more thing. And that is, if you really know him, your relationships horizontally in life will be corrected by his power. And so you cannot ignore the fact that your present relationships affect how you think about yourself, right? Got a problem in your marriage? It's a big deal. Got a problem in your parent-child relationship? It's a big deal. Unresolved issues, bitterness with another Christian, things that are just not being handled. Well, it's wonderful if you're trying to work on your relationship with God, but that's going to short-circuit all of that. So if you really are walking with God, then you're going to love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, let me just say this. You cannot solve, sometimes unilaterally, the problems with other people. But you can do everything God's told you to do to solve it, and you can be free. Not bitter, release and forgiveness, and have genuine love to serve. even if you don't get a response. It doesn't say they have to love you. It just says we need to love one another, and that's what you and I have to do. And so in this whole delicate balance of our relationship with God, how it was affected by our family, and now as we're developing and growing, we go back to a relationship of being accepted in Him, developing that heart for God, truly trusting His word, and then having an interaction with Him that's very real as He works in our life and we are doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. And then that's going to cause us to deal with the things that can really still rob us of confidence, and that's in our interpersonal relationships. Now, we'll deal more about that as time goes, because a lot of what we deal with when it comes to identity crisis is directly related to relationships. But right now, whatever has happened in the past, it's going to be important that you look at it. We're going to talk about how it affects. But right now, if you will just realize who you are in Christ, if you will trust this book, if you will take the time to pray, I'm telling you, this hour with God is not some little ritual. We're talking about a real relationship. You let God work in your life, and you see Him work and change you, and then He gives you wisdom for your relationships, your confidence will begin to build. And you'll have that sweet reality. He loves me. I don't have to be insecure. I have things that are still broken, but I understand that, and my life can really count for God. And we can be confident. By the way, it'll change your outreach because you have boldness. It'll change other responsibilities you have because God will work in your life, and you will begin to have a confidence that comes. But I mainly wanted to lay the groundwork of where this insecurity, the root is, in a biblical approach to thinking right about it. So let's bow for prayer at this time. So we bow before the Lord here tonight. You'd say, Pastor, as I look at developing biblical confidence and really understanding these truths and appropriate them, I realize I've got to just say I don't believe the Bible at times, though I would say I do. God dealt with me about that. Or maybe, you know, I think I'm struggling because I have let prayer just slip and I've looked at it as just some duty I need to do without realizing what a privilege to have a wonderful interaction with my God and have Him meet my needs and have the joy of serving Him, and I'm missing that totally. And I know that's hurting my confidence. Or maybe it's just a matter that there are some things holding you up in interpersonal relationships, and that's causing you to break down on confidence. And you know that God can do that. The Lord Jesus can overcome that. And you say, I want that. I want that. I want to have that solid identity in Christ. I want to have that confidence in Him. And I just need to just open my heart to Him and believe His word and just let Him love me and just love Him. It doesn't need to be complicated. And you'd say, the Lord just opened up some of these things to me tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up if God worked in your heart specifically that way? God bless you. Amen. Maybe there's someone here, you need to let God's love shine in. You've never trusted Christ. If you were to die, you'd not be sure because you're looking to yourself, just like it's false for us as believers to look to ourselves for God to, or for things to happen. We'll get discouraged if we do. It's the same thing. If you've never trusted Christ, it's all through what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And my friend, you can have confidence and assurance that if you were to die, that you would have everlasting life. You'd say tonight, Pastor, I want to join these that raise the hand. I really do need to know for sure. I need to know what my eternal destiny holds, and I need to not be ashamed to admit it. Would you pray for me? Is anyone like that in a crowd like this? There's bound to be somebody. Would you just slip your hand up? Let us see it, and we'll pray for you here tonight, anyone at all. Lord, work in hearts. Lord, simple truths tonight, but it isn't complicated. Well, we got to understand where it comes from, and Lord, we're going to start dissecting those problems. of what happened in our past. But Lord, before we do that, we just need to realize you're able to meet every need. And a number of folks raised the hand. Would you work in whatever way you convicted them? And Lord, give great victory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.